Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hi, and welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb, coming to you from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. I write about food, and my favorite part about what I do is finding out the stories and meeting the people behind great recipes, restaurants, and more. And every Wednesday, I get to have these conversations on air, bringing the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life by interviewing some of the most interesting women in the world of food. You can listen to the show every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org or download it anytime on iTunes. Today, I'm really delighted to be joined in this first segment by Sue Chan, who's the brand director of the Momofuku Restaurant Group and is also the co-founder of the Toklas Society. Hi, Sue. I have made it my sort of personal inadvertent mission to get Barnard women in the food business on the show. I'm a Barnard grad. I know you are too. Last week we had Molly Culver, who's a farmer and floral designer here, and she went to Barnard as well. So just that's a personal aside.
No, that's incredible. I mean, I am as well. There are a lot of definitely strong Barnard women out there who are doing amazing things in the food industry and obviously in other industries
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's nice to, we have to have a food reunion sometime. I would love to let listeners know a little bit more about your background. Where are you from originally? Before college.
I was born in Taiwan. I moved to the States when I was five, and I grew up mostly in California. Southern California specifically, and but I call San Diego my hometown. So I spent like high school and junior high there.
Awesome. And was your family into food?
Oh, hugely into food. So, well, I was born in Taiwan. My mom's Taiwanese, my dad's Malaysian, and both cultures have a really rich history of food. In Taiwan, there were like the street markets, which my parents would take me to when I was like little. And I feel like a lot of family vacations were always centered around the restaurants that we would go to. So I definitely have always loved to eat. I think I cooked my first meal when I was like eight, maybe threw my first party when I was nine or something like that. So hospitality and food has always been a big part of my life. Yeah.
I feel like that's the running theme with all women who are doing awesome things in food now. I'm going to jump forward a little bit from your childhood. I know you went to school in New York. Yeah. We talked about that. And then you worked at the Spotted Pig. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. I did. I don't really tell people that just because I was like the worst kitchen extern ever. And I was only there for a month. But it was such an incredible experience. I mean, I've always been interested in cooking. And so when I was working on my thesis in college, this is like my senior year, I had a lot of free time, and so I decided to like take a cooking class at New School. It was just like a really short program, and they actually set me up with the externship at the Spotted Pig, which was only going to be for 5 weeks, and it was the most incredible experience ever. And I remember getting this like private lesson from April, and Peter Cho was also in that lesson. It was like me and Peter Cho, who's now the head chef at the Breslin. Mm-hmm. She gave us this like private lesson on how to make a pie crust, and it was just so incredible, like working in the kitchen with her. And just and the big lesson that I learned from that was it's really important to have great attention to detail, because even though like the dough would be covered with the filling, like if your base wasn't good, then you wouldn't be able to build off of that.
It's like pie crust as a metaphor for life.
Exactly. Exactly. It was such a metaphor for life, and it was at that point where I was just like, wow, this is definitely the industry that I want to be in, but I don't know if my skills lie in the kitchen. I love to be a home cook, but being a professional cook is something that I really admire, but it wasn't for me, and I wasn't.
But then you quickly went from sort of this brief experience in the kitchen of a restaurant to working for a major restaurant group. So I want to talk a little bit about, because you work for the Momofuku.
Yes.
Is it Momofuku Restaurant Group? Is that how you refer to it?
Well, we dabble in so many different things, like with the magazine, with our food equipment company that's headed up by Dave Arnold called Booker & Dax. And then there's also like the culinary lab and then the bakery. So we
it's
just
like
call
a big
ourselves
tree
Momofuku.
With a lot of branches.
I know. Yeah. So Restaurant Group, I think, is, doesn't really properly describe what it is that our organization does. But.
And you are the perfect person to describe it because you are the brand
yes.
manager. Is that right? And what does a brand manager
do? Oh, gosh. So I oversee everything public facing that we do. I think that's the best way to understand it. So all the PR, marketing, events, digital media. I mean, I have a huge team that helps me in Toronto and New York. But we see a lot of like the public facing stuff that we do. And we also work very closely with Dave and with Lucky Peach on doing those things for them as well.
Yeah. And that is just your day job.
That is just my day job, yes.
To most would be more than enough. But you are also one of the co-founders of the Toklas Society, which is what I want to speak to you the most about. For listeners who don't know exactly what it is, what is the Toklas Society?
So the Toklas Society is a networking group for women in food and hospitality. Right now we have over 800 members and counting. As of right now, all that we're doing is about two events a month and then featuring women in the industry on our website, toklassociety.com. In those events, we hope to highlight the incredible women who are in the industry. It's also, you know, hopefully teach people who either want to have a career move or are thinking about entering food and providing them with information and resources so that they can make that next step.
I think what you guys are doing is amazing. Yeah. And I think any opportunity to just get the conversation going, make the conversation louder, add more voices to it is great.
Yeah, and definitely. And I feel like sometimes when you, I mean, I spend a lot of hours at work and obviously, you know, Dave Chang has been a huge mentor in my life as his business partner has too, Drew Salmon. But as far as like what I'm doing and overseeing, I don't really have anyone in my life that I can like go to or look up to get advice about like how to move forward or how to be better at what it is I'm doing. And so I have to admit, selfishly, like I wanted to hear those stories from other women. And it's also just nice to hear, like, I know I struggle with like work-life balance and confidence at work, and so hearing other people having the same similar struggles, it's like nice to hear, like, okay,
absolutely.
Well, you know, I don't have to be perfect. Yeah. I you know, oh wait, this is more normal.
Yeah, reason to start exactly. That. I think that's amazing. Yeah. And I think it's questions that apply to anyone, whether you're in the food business or not, 100%. Whether you're a woman or not. But the fact that you're doing this for our community, I think is just wonderful. For anyone who doesn't live in New York or can't make an event that they want to go to, you guys archive the material, is that right?
Yes. So we're starting to, and excuse our the jankiness of our website. We are trying to make that better. Just need to get a little bit of funding for that. But so we are starting to record both video and just audio. We're starting to record all of our events. So you'll be able to find that on our website.
Awesome. And it's Toklassociety.com.
Toklassociety.com, exactly.
Okay. And how do you become a member if you want to become
Really easy these days. Just email RSVP at Toklassociety. I'm sorry, at MissToklass.com. RSVP at MissToklass.com. And then we'll add you to our mailing list. And we recently just got nonprofit status. So we are looking to build a more robust membership program. So, you know, our members can have insider access to certain resources.
That's so great. Yeah. That's really super. What do you feel so far has been the most successful event, or which one have you enjoyed the most?
You know, each month we try to do two events, and one is a networking event that's, you know, pretty casual and just like cocktails and people get together and meet one another. And then the other event that we do every month is like a more programmed event. So like a workshop or a panel. And recently, the last one that we did was with Allie Kane from Haven's Kitchen. We did a Q&A at Haven's Kitchen. And I mean, I feel like all of the events, like just hearing from these women and hearing about how they started their companies, hearing about the struggles that they deal with, hearing, you know, what their advice is to other people in the industry has just been really inspiring.
That's so great. Yeah. I think it's so in line with the Cherry Bomb community. I think we're talking about the same groups 100%. Of women. So anyone 100%. Who isn't
a
member,
I would say
it's worth signing up.
We have, our main focus is the professional aspect of it, but it's the same stories that we're telling.
And I have to say, I signed up, Charlotte Druckmann, who's a great food writer, told me about it a while ago.
She is the best, by the way.
Yeah, she's the best at connecting everyone. And when she told me about it, I signed up, and even... not being able to go to all the events I want to, just knowing that they're happening makes me really happy. So getting that email is just great. So I really encourage it. And we're so happy to get a chance to talk a little bit more about it. We are going to run out of time pretty soon. So I want to go into the Cherry Bomb rapid fire Q&A, okay. which are the 8 questions we ask every guest who comes on. So no pressure. number 1, sweet or salty?
Oh, gosh. Both? I think Christina Tosi does a really good job of doing both. So I'm always used to that. But yeah, but both.
What did you have for breakfast today?
What did I have for? Oh, God, that's kind of sad. I had a coffee and that was it. That's now I'm having a juice, even though it's lunchtime.
We'll get you a pizza soon. What are you reading right now?
I just bought Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. So it's I'm wonderful. Reading that right now. I know it's been on the bookshelves for a while, it's hilarious. It's a great read.
If I were to look into your refrigerator right now, what might I be surprised to find?
That is really embarrassing. And I should probably lie and tell you that it's full of food from the farmer's market. But honestly, for my job, I have to socialize a lot and go out to a lot of work-related dinners and cocktails and whatnot. So I don't cook at home as much as I'd like to. So, lots of condiments, but specifically Sir Kensington ketchup, which my friend Scott actually produces. And then, I had a Milk Bar cake in my fridge for a while because on Saturday I took a baking class at Milk Bar. And we made a birthday cake, which I eventually gave to my friend Ronnie. But that was in my fridge for a little
bit. That's so great.
I think like yogurt too, maybe is my fridge.
That all sounds good. Condiments, cake, and yogurt. Yeah. What's your go-to snack?
My go-to snack. I eat a lot of cream cheese and cucumbers on toast and avocado toast.
Delicious. Yeah. Anything on toast.
Cheese and toast.
Lastly, what was your favorite meal when you were a kid?
Oh my goodness. So my dad did the cooking in my family, and he would attempt to make like a bastardized version of, American food. But my favorite food that he would make was always like the Malaysian dishes that he grew up eating. But there's this amazing fish curry that he would make where you fry a whole fish, make a curry sauce, and then pour the curry sauce over the fried
fish.
That sounds
so good.
It was incredible.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Every time I ask that question, I want to go to whoever's parents' house for dinner. That sounds great. Sue, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Rawia.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. This summer, Heritage Radio Network is turning 5. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else. And we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented, nonprofit organization. And that means we depend on the support from listeners like you to keep us alive. If you love what you hear on Heritage Radio Network, visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, 5 generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm your host, Julia Tertian. We are in the studio now with Rawia Bashara and her daughter, Jumana, of Tanarine in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Rawia is also the author of Olives, Lemons, and Za'atar, which is a very, very beautiful book. We are so happy to have you guys here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I would love to let listeners know a little bit more about where you're from before we get into the restaurant and the book.
I am from Nazareth, Palestinian. Came to New York 40 years ago, 1974. Had my children here, so my daughter is born here in New York. We live in Bay Ridge since then.
So you've always been in Bay Ridge?
I've always been in Bay Ridge, and I'll always stay in Bay Ridge.
And how old is Tanarine?
Tanarine is going to be 15.
Oh, my God. Amazing. And Tanarine, for anyone who doesn't know, is arguably New York's best Middle Eastern restaurant, and I feel very comfortable saying that because I think that's very true.
Thank you.
And how is it opening that restaurant? Is that community, from what I know, Bay Ridge is sort of primarily mostly Italian. Do you think, is that accurate? Or
In fact, it's not Italian. When I came, 1974, it was Italian, Irish, Greek.
Scandinavian.
Scandinavian, exactly. Norwegian. Now it's more mixed than that. Mm-hmm. There is more Middle Eastern, more Chinese, more Spanish. But in general, it kept its ethnicity, which is really beautiful.
Yeah. And did you work in restaurants before you opened Tannerine?
No.
No.
But they used to call my kitchen in my house a restaurant. So
that's so great. So you grew up in a home full of great food.
I grew up in a home full of great food, constantly entertaining, always hosting guests. It was just sort of a natural progression for my mom when she decided to do some work outside of the house that the restaurant would be the most natural way to go.
Absolutely. And yeah. What is your business relationship?
We're co-owners. She's the chef. I manage the back end and the business part. Yep.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great when it works.
You see, it is, because when I started the restaurant, in fact, it's exactly when my children went to college. And I felt like I can, because, as you know, restaurant business takes a lot of time. And I couldn't have done it when my kids were home. Mm. It's really time-consuming. And I opened the restaurant when they went to college. And my daughter graduated, in fact, master political science, and she came back to join the business.
Oh, wow.
Which was really beautiful, and it gave me a lot of motivations to go on.
That's so great. And I think there's something so wonderful about the food that you do in the restaurant and that you presented in the book, that's such a mix of sort of old traditions, but also doing new things. For example, one of your most famous dishes are the Brussels sprouts. they're fried, is that right?
That's right.
And they have like a tahini yogurt sauce, pomegranate molasses,
right.
And then there's panko, mm-hmm. which is like a Japanese breadcrumb, which
exactly.
I'm sure probably wasn't in Nazareth.
It wasn't.
Brussels sprouts weren't in Nazareth either, actually.
So how did that dish, did you think of that? Did someone suggest it? How did it happen?
In fact, I saw Brussels sprouts in the market, and I thought it was like little cabbages, mm-hmm. and I took it home and I treated it as so, and then I read about it and I found out how good it is, and I started, you know, wanting to cook it home, and my kids never liked it, so I started looking for ways for them to like it, because it's a little bitter, and usually children don't like bitter vegetables when they're, you know, really young, and little by little, it became like a candy, I think.
They get really sweet.
With the pomegranate, it got really sweet, exactly, crunchy. And the way you make them, they pop when you make it. And it's fun, in fact. And the response I got from the restaurant was humongous.
So now you're making tons of Brussels sprouts. You can't get away from them. That's so funny. How would you describe your menu? Would you say it's traditional, or...?
I've started with the traditional menu, mixed a little bit with my own little dishes here and there, like eggplant Napoleon and Brussels sprouts and these things. And now I'm even, you know, because 15 years in a restaurant business, you need to, and all these new things around you, you need to renew. You need to make it interesting. You cannot get it to be boring. And I kept my traditional, and I added to it my own style of things.
Sort of keeping things current without changing the whole thing.
You know, having my daughter around me helps that a lot, in fact, because, and my son too, because they have an opinion to give about these things, and they're more exposed to things outside than I am. And little by little, we created our own style of cooking, in fact, but we kept our traditional, and we're planning on keeping it. Mm-hmm. Because the whole idea of the restaurant and the book really was to expose a little bit our culture, which is a beautiful culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are many. I mean, even if you bring in new ingredients like Brussels sprouts or create a new dish like the eggplant Napoleon, the classics are going to remain, you know, the kefta and the kebabs, mm-hmm. and the things that people associate with Middle Eastern food, but also in addition to that, the really home-style things that you would eat if you ate in an Arab home. those things will stay on the menu. And, you know, either we can rotate them out for one or another dish at any time, but it's never going to be, I don't think, that Middle Eastern menu that is unrecognizable to people in the Middle East. Like, we want it to remain true to the culture and the tradition of our kitchen.
That's so wonderful. It's sort of, it sounds like a place where anyone can walk in and feel at home, whether you're from Nazareth, whether you're from Bay Ridge, or you're,
as if my mom is cooking in the kitchen.
Well, I wish every restaurant was like that. Well, you lucked out. I would love to just, because as you just mentioned it, it's sort of the same goal as the restaurant, is your book, which is a really, really lovely book. One of the most interesting things that I read in both your introduction, I know it was mentioned, it was the first line in a piece that was written about you in the New York Times probably half a dozen years ago, was that your name translates to storyteller.
That's right.
Which is reason enough to do a book, if you ask me. But is that part of what inspired you to commit your recipes to paper? Is part of it just keeping these stories alive?
You see, the stories is, I think food is about stories. Food is about your lifetime. It's about your life story in general, because for every occasion, for everything that used to go on, there is a special dish, a regular, you know, a certain way of making it, a certain tradition around it. Like, let's say I described the Easter cookies, how there was like a factory in my house for a whole week when we made the Easter cookies. And we have all the neighbors coming in, helping us out. And then how we go with plates all over the neighborhood, giving everybody a plate. It's like a fantastic tradition, a fantastic way of looking at things. Generosity, love, care, group work, being together, all of this together. Plus, it's what comes out of it, which is really delicious.
Which is great, yeah. Absolutely. I think you just described the whole cookbook process, the reason for doing cookbooks, just beautifully. And it really is just a super book. Do you have a favorite recipe in the book, or is that like asking you a favorite child?
Something like that. It's you cannot really say what's your favorite in something like this. Then everybody starts...
Maybe it's your son.
In general, cauliflower stew and cauliflower in itself and lentil soup, growing up, used to be my favorite meals. So I try to play with them a lot. And, I found out when I came here that everybody here is, cauliflower is very well known here, and lentil soup. I think every nationality has something around lentil and lentil soup. So, but no, really, no favorite dishes. Yeah. I think you can't have a favorite and be creative. Being creative is really opening your mind, tasting things.
That's very well said. Speaking of your favorite dishes growing up, that sends me right into the Cherry Bomb Rapid Fire Q&A, which are a number of questions we ask every guest that's on the show. So you've sort of answered the last one. I'm going to do a slightly abbreviated one since we've got both of you here today. But so your favorite foods growing up included the cauliflower, the lentil soup. What about yours?
Anything stew.
Anything stew. Does that mean any stew?
Well,
Middle Eastern food
has something called yakhne, which is a stew of any, like a cauliflower, string beans, okra, that vegetable with either meat or without meat, served next to rice. So it was sort of a staple growing up, and it would feed you for a few days.
That sounds so great. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you, Rawia, you go first. Do you prefer sweet or salty?
Salty.
Sweet.
So you guys are a good balance.
Yeah.
And what did you have for breakfast today?
I normally don't eat breakfast. I have coffee in the morning.
That works.
With a couple of dates, really. If I crave sweets, I eat a date stuffed with walnut or pecan. We have those all over the counter.
That sounds like
all the time. Yeah.
A really sweet, wonderful way to start the day.
It's a very, very good fruit. It's a fantastic fruit for you. And we're used to it from the Middle East.
What about you, breakfast?
I had fava beans and a half a boiled egg that my mom experimented with this morning and brought me out a plate and said, taste this and tell me what you think.
Do you get a lot of the
I get a lot of
the trials?
Yes.
That's so funny. And I'm going to ask you each two more questions. Your favorite time of day?
Evening, night, and early in the morning when I'm by myself, having my coffee, you know, watching the news, sitting outside, taking care of my garden when the weather is nice. Yeah.
What's your favorite time of day?
Late afternoon, early evening.
And lastly, what is your go-to snack?
To tell you the truth, since the Noreen, I barely have time to go snack anywhere. So my snack is at the Noreen.
That works. I would love that snack. That's great. What about you?
Dangerously enough, we have toasted pita bread that has za'atar on it at all times because we serve it at the restaurant with... It goes out in the bread basket, so as soon as I want something, I go for a bite of that.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. I just want to live in Tannery. thank you guys both for being here. It's really great to meet you. You're part of a New York institution, and we're just so happy to talk to you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next Wednesday at 2 p.m. on Heritage for another episode of Radio Cherry Bomb.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.